Hi there, we are James and Dan, two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, one in the books, two to go. Second hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on an FBI Friday in the big city as Mike Rao is our comedian of the week. And we are going to have two more clips of his, 215, 315, here on the show. Dell is out. We appreciate him stopping in. Now Aaron Rabel joins us for the duration as he takes us for the next 2 hours and then leads into his show, The Blitz. Aaron, welcome to the program. Always great to have you aboard. And if you didn't hear hour number one, I have questions about how you discriminate, but that's something we can get.
Just defend your good name because Joel besmirched your character.
Wait, Barry is just
what?
The biggest.
Okay, so I was working on stupid stuff for my show. What am I missing?
So here's the thing, Joel, and I want to know Joel, if there's something to this, or Barry, you just shut your mouth for a second before you stir it up anymore. How come it is that you only send us that sports and stuff rundown on days when you fill in for us? Otherwise, you hoard it to just the bench and the blitz. Question. That's my question for you.
Because I have been. That's your producer's job.
La, 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 la. It's not. Have you been instructed not to share it with us because fresh content is what they are after on certain shows?
I haven't been instructed not to. I've just been told. I asked if I needed to send it out company-wide to every single person on air, and I was told no, everybody should be doing their own prep.
Well, AJ made his decision known then. I get it. All right.
Joel seems to think you send it to the bench as well, and that's not true, correct?
He sends it to Lance!
I send it to Lance solely because when I started doing this 4 years ago now, when I was working the morning shift at KTRH, he was the first person I started sending sports prep to. It all started with me doing it for Rod Ryan, and then I would get in there at 4 a.m., I would start working on that stuff. I would go through everything, send an email to Rod and everybody at the Buzz, then I would move on to sports.
Wait! Hold on, time out, pause, put a pin in that, we'll come back. Are you saying that Rod Ryan doesn't have to do his own show prep? He just gets it all handed to him?
No, not at all. He does a whole lot of his own. Oh, but I also go through and I find extra.
Nice try, started.
But nice try. No,
more pot.
I was really hoping it.
But you're missing the big picture here, Barry. He was,
what?
Without being instructed, it was suggested that he doesn't send this out to all of us so that others can hoard it. I'm just telling you. And I thought that
it's
one of two people. I'm just throwing it out.
It's to prevent everybody from on air from using it as a crutch.
Wait a minute, what?
I said, I think it's more to prevent people from using it as a crutch of, oh, I don't need to do prep because Aaron's got me every single morning. When I'm on your show, you know it's there. But when I'm not on your show, then you're not going, oh, it's okay, I can sleep in, like, you know, until 11:35, 11:45, just get up, go to the station, because Aaron's got my prep for me.
So you're describing Barry Laminack's normal day.
There's nothing wrong with sleeping until 11:30, Aaron, as long as you can still be prepared for your show, okay? Don't start, listen!
Aaron, I didn't say you don't stay up until 7 a.m. prepping and then sleep for 4 hours.
Ah, that's what it is. Yeah, suck it, Joel. No, what it
you
is,
do realize
is I think
the way
Joel's
that Barry
looking for the easy way
that,
out.
No, I am, right? That's why when Barry uses the term being prepared for your show, he then follows that up with going, I like it to be organic, which means the first time we hear about it is when we're on the air. So therefore, he doesn't have to do any prep because then he can just say, hey, I want it to be organic. I just dropped this on you now. Or I just read this.
Not true. Not true at all. You'd be surprised how many headlines and articles I go through and read, but half the time you've already got the stuff added. But to me, it's all about opinions. Like, you should know what's going on, what are the topics, and just give your opinions. I don't need to, as many stats as I bring to the table, and you're going to sit there and tell me I'm not prepared. How dare you, sir?
I didn't say you're not prepared.
If we were face to face, I would slap you in the face with a white glove and challenge you to a duel.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I would. We would draw pistols at 10 paces.
That white glove better be like without any germs able to pass through. I'm just letting you know.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, so Aaron, good to have you aboard, as you'll take us through 4 and then your show through 7. Are you doing late hits tonight, too, as well?
I sure am, because we're debuting a new segment, or a new, theme for Friday shows.
What does that mean?
Oh.
Everybody in the city and the greater surrounding area are on lockdown. You can't go and spend your Friday night at a bar sitting there talking, so starting at 7 o'clock at night, we got a late hits bar opening up, where if you're calling in, we want you to crack a beer open with us.
Oh.
Gotta go living room?
Okay, see? Man.
I'm so glad you think you're funny, man.
You get so...
It was right there, Joel.
I mean...
It was right there. Man, you know
you
I love
so
you. It was right
today.
There. I'm not salty. I'm in a great mood.
Okay. Yeah, you're in a great mood.
Outstanding.
Because, look, I don't think I sent you anything to be roasted on via social media, but okay, fine. Whatever the case may
Fair
be,
enough.
Hour number
Fair
two
enough.
Of the show is now. I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but now Evan Gaddis has finally spoken. He came out and did a podcast where he essentially apologized for what the Astros did in 2017. He realizes that fans being upset, it's justified. Admitted that they cheated. I don't know if you saw it or not, guy Barry, but to me, it's like, okay, at a certain point, you either chime in right away when everything was going down, or Everything that could have been said has been said. Let's just move on.
Well, I think if you're doing a podcast, which is what he was doing, and you're asked for your opinion, yeah, you give your opinion. Now, people are always going to take that and run with it and make it national news because of who he is and where he was involved and everything else. But he probably wasn't asked a lot about it, or, I don't know. I mean, he said he did a 755 his real podcast and
he basically just said, look, if our punishment is being hated by everybody forever, okay, whatever. I don't know what should be done, but something had to be done. I do agree with that big time. I think it's good for baseball. We're cleaning it up. I understand it's not effing good enough to say sorry. I get it. We didn't look at our moral compass and say this is right. It was almost like paranoia warfare or something. But what we did was wrong. Don't get it twisted. It was wrong for the nature of competition, not even just baseball.
He's also doing, I think, damage control, because he caught a lot of eyes with the flying saucer beer glass thing and him being the last person to get one in the city. And everybody who lives outside the city who hates the Astros and thinks they should burn in hell was... Well, I can't believe he's got a glass that says snitches get stitches with Mike Fire's picture on it. And he's like, well, we're friends. We still talk. And now he's just going further on to damage control of, no, we were wrong, guys. So he doesn't get so much national hatred.
I mean, it could be, but he even talks about Fires. And he says, look, he had something to say. He said it. He said he's kind of glad because it was just going to spiral out of control if somebody didn't put a stop to it. So he kind of almost, I'm sure, and I bet that's true for a lot of the players, is that there's a sense of relief that, okay, finally, because this was just one of those things where, that happens in situations like that, where you're in the middle of it, and it just continues to get bigger and larger and more complicated and spiral out of control, but no one knows how to stop it. Well, according to Evan Gaddis, that had Mike Fires not stopped it, who knows what they would have been doing.
I mean, there was some very good telling quotes in here, too, about nobody made them do it. He said, people saying this guy made us. No, that's not it. But you have to understand, it was a powerful situation. You work your whole life to try and effing hit a ball. And You mean you can tell me what's coming? It's like, what? It's a powerful thing. There's millions of dollars on the line, and that's part of it too. That's where people got hurt. That's not right. That's not playing the game. But he said that he didn't think Hinch liked it in terms of AJ Hinch. He also said some people are also mad on our team, not mad at people hating us, just mad, kind of like the fan side. Not everybody was super happy about the cheating. They were teammates, and maybe they didn't feel like they were in a position to say anything, and they're living with it right now. I could have said something. I could have done something, but I didn't.
Well, look, he's saying what, and again, he probably, this is the first time that he's gotten to speak on it at this level, but he's saying, I think, he's trying to be as honest as possible, but at the same time, not throw anybody under the bus because he doesn't want to be a Mike Fiers because he knows that snitches get stitches. So he's not saying, oh, yeah, it was Beltran or anybody else. He's doing what 99.999% of all Major League Baseball players would do in that situation. He's owning it to the best of his ability, but he's not mentioning anyone else.
I think, too, the other thing is the way he put it out there, because everybody was dissecting the nature of the apologies from the players. And I don't think you can keep it any more real than when you're dropping cuss bombs and basically just kind of, for lack of a better term, but just in common everyday layman's terms, just laying it out there that we screwed up. Because he basically said it got effing out of control. And that's why I'm actually glad the truth is out there. We effed up. It wasn't
That's what I was
right.
saying. Yeah,
it was wrong. Yeah, so I'm saying, you know, I think that a lot of people say, well, Bregman was too cocky about his apology, or Altuve didn't say enough. This way, the way he put it, puts it in layman's terms with a way that everybody can say, you know what, he kept it real, and that he owned everything, and this is the best apology we've heard yet.
Do you think it's the most honest and realest apology for sure. I would agree with that. It feels genuine, like just a dude going, yeah, we screwed up. I mean, it was awful what we did. We screwed up and you know, it doesn't feel contrived. It doesn't feel like when Bregman and Altuve hit the podium and they didn't read it, but you could tell they were memorizing
it was
and
forced.
Reciting it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was
and
like someone,
a lot
it was
more
force
genuine.
Fed from the organization. This one seemed from the heart.
And which it's also easier to do when you're no longer an Astro.
Or Let's no longer real. Playing baseball.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to face guys going at, you know, headhunting or trying to hit you with pitches and take all that vitriol out on you because you're out of the game.
Yeah.
All right, so there's the Evan Gattis portion of the program as he speaks up on the Astros. We got plenty more to get to and plenty of time to do it. If there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest and join the show, 713-780-3776. That's the HRNP listener line. You can call that number. You can text that number. You can reach us on Twitter. It's the usual suspects on an FEF Friday, ESPN 97.5.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Hall of Fame, Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, and Nick Sciarra.
I am what every woman wants, right? A middle-aged, 400-pound fat man. They don't dream about me. They have nightmares about me. Let's be... I know I'm too fat, though. I know I'm too fat. I get big clues. You know, people, just before the show, somebody came up to me, one of your nice audience members, like, oh, I think I recognize you from your photograph. And I'm like, what, Facebook, Instagram? She goes, no, Google Earth.
There you go. FEF Friday, F for funny. Mike Rao is our comedian of the week. Barry gave you a little backstory in hour number one. We'll have another clip coming up at 3:15, but a funny dude. You can follow him at comedian Mike Rao and comedianmikerao.com.
He's got a podcast too, Wise Guys Speak. So you can listen to that as well if you are a fan now, which is the
there
whole point.
You got it.
Become fans when you hear guys that we play on Friday that you like. Look them up. Follow them. Tell them you heard them. Tell them you like them. Give them a follow or a click or a thumbs up or whatever the hell it is people are chasing nowadays. Because that's the point. Because a while back, somebody's like, hey, why don't you give us some new comedians to that we've never heard of? I'm like, bro, I've been doing that for 3 years. Yeah. Every Friday. So, yeah, find somebody you like that I've played and go follow them.
And after Barry tells you to go follow it, I can tell a few people to go do something else based on the text line today, because I am the center of all of the negativity. First of all, someone wanted to question me saying on a Peloton bike was a mere $3,000. A mere question mark. Well, you know what? Google it so you can get a little bit better in terms of your grammar and your understanding of the English language, because a mere is it's a phrase, and it's basically, if you want to look it up, the definition of a mere means something small or unimportant. So I sarcastically said a mere $3,000 because the bikes are expensive. Get over it. There's that.
So what you're suggesting is that our listeners, some of their vocabulary is limited? Sir, how dare you?
I'm suggesting that this person is an a-hole. And so is the person that said Barry used to be the only one to like Joel. Now he's out too. Well, I have plenty of people that like me on a daily basis. Unlike you with your family, when your mom charges you rent in the basement, you'll get over it. So there you go.
Now, you noticed that I didn't read that. I just deleted it.
I don't care. I'll read it.
Okay. Well, I'm not participating in that. I can hate you and say hateful things on my own. I don't need texters to do it for me.
Yeah. And you've done that very well today. So
thank you.
I think that, yeah, F yeah for that Friday. So we got that going for us, which is nice. Now, you brought up, and I believe you said someone texted you yesterday, but a very
Well, someone texted the show.
Yeah, about baseball.
Yeah, someone texted the show yesterday and said, hey, with all this stuff going on, what happens with Dusty Baker if there's no baseball? If there's no 2020 season, because we were talking about the fact that AJ Hinch and Jeff Luhnow would be allowed to get back into baseball in 2021, even if there is no season. And you and I gave our opinions on whether that was okay or not. Go back and listen to podcast.com. We're not going to rehash it. But that led to another question. Well, what about a guy like Dusty Baker who's on a one-year deal? Is he going to be what does he do? Is he out, or does the year not start until they play again? I would have to think, and I looked for something that kind of said one way or the other, and the only thing I could find was really more, it was a whole long ESPN article from Jeff Passan, Boo, and Kylie McDaniel, who talked about what this new agreement between the MLBPA and Major League Baseball means going forward. And it talks about player salaries and $170 million pool if there is no season that gets split up and all that. But it doesn't specifically talk about managers. So my guess is, if baseball recognizes the suspension as having occurred for 2020, even if the season isn't played, then I would guess that that contract is for, day whatever of 2020 to day whatever of 2020. And then that contract is up. So on the last day of the season 2020, whether that's playoffs or whatever, then his contract is over with.
Assuming he's getting paid for this year, yeah, I would go along with that and say that his 1 year is then through. And if you look at James Click and his background and his analytics and the fact that the length of his deal was, I think, 5 years, and you know that a general manager wants his guy. And we've talked about, again, on this show, as you mentioned, the fact that Dusty was a Band-Aid. He was a short-term fix because of the facts that his experiences in baseball on and off the field would help this franchise. You got to believe that James Click would basically said, hey, thanks for your efforts, and we appreciate the fact that you were there if we needed you, but we're going to move forward, and I'm going to get the guy that I want to work with for the next foreseeable future amount of years. I would think that Dusty, is happy to get his check and may never manage a game for the Astros then.
Well, and that's the other thing, too, is how much is he going to get? He's not going to get the full amount, because there's a whole – if the season is scrapped for the entire 2020 season, then, for example, the only payment players get is the $170 million that they had agreed to as an – it's a $170 million advance. And so that gets divided up amongst all the players, and – that's it. Like, they don't get anything else. Now, if they do play, it's prorated. So if they play 81 games, they get half their salary for the year. So if there's no games, there's no pay.
That's player-wise, Barry, but the organization is different, and the manager falls under each individual organization. We had talked about in the past that force majeure clause that's in a lot of contracts, that due to something that's an unforeseen natural disaster or pandemic or whatever, that it can be, you know, grounds for a discussion. But I believe one way or another, and he has made no bones about the fact that he wanted to get one more paycheck. He would love to be considered when they were saying he was a candidate for the Astros job. He basically made reference to, why wouldn't I, whether it's a year or more, to collect the salary and do this after he thought he was done and gets one more paycheck. I think he'll be fine that no matter what they would give him for this year, it was something that he was not going to get otherwise. He collects on that. He fades off into the sunset, and then the organization and your new general manager are free to choose the guy that you want to have the reins for the foreseeable long-term future of this franchise.
Well, the reason I thought it was a great question, beyond the fact that it's not something I think a lot of people were considering because he was on the one-year deal, I think it leads to a better question, and I'd like your opinion on it, which is, would you bring him back for 2021? Because they have still yet to have played a season as the exposed cheaters that are the Houston Astros. So you know there's still the media frenzy, the fan frenzy, and all that is yet to come. They have not gone through a season. So do you still give Dusty Baker the opportunity to lead you through a season of that? Or do you say, well, we're another year removed and go get
the
guy?
I think it's a fine line that a lot of organizations can't tiptoe, but I think that it would say a lot about what the Astros organization is, because you could be the good guy doing the right thing by a guy, so to speak, by giving him another year and then trying it anyway, or you could be straight business and just say, you know what, if you're Jim Crane, you hired this young general manager, and you know whether it was discussed and agreed upon or it was unspoken, but you know there was some kind of innuendo for whatever reason, I would leave it up to James Click and a discussion very frankly with Jim Crane to say, do you feel like as a general manager, for the betterment of your team, we need this? We still think that there's going to be a lot of hate coming our way and we need a guy like Dusty Baker. Or do you feel like, hey, we've endured the worst of it. We've dealt with the media scrutiny when the everything came down leading up to the spring training. And now it's time to get our long-term guy.
Well, let me give you one bit of bad news.
Okay.
All Astros fans, bad news. If there is no 2020 season, okay, but they're getting their service time. All the players would get their service time for 2020. And you ask, why is that significant?
Yep.
Because this is George Springer's last year. George Springer will be a free agent, and he may have never played in 2020.
Yeah, it's a great point, and it's a harsh
Betts,
reality.
Trevor Bauer, Marcus Stroman, all those cats will be free agents whether there's a baseball season or not.
No doubt. I mean, look, you're absolutely right. And that's something that a lot of teams are going to have to face. A lot of players are looking at. And it's going to change the landscape of baseball because, as you said, they had that massive trade between the Red Sox and Dodgers. Look what happens if you're the Dodgers. You gave up prospects and young talent to get a guy that may never play a single regular season game in your jersey. So there's a lot to be considered with all of this. That's going to get a lot more interesting by the day as games are not being played. So we'll continue to talk about that and other things. If you guys want to join the show, 713-780-3776. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter. It is hour number two of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Give it up to me.
Do you? ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 90 in the books, 90 still to go. Second half of the show right now on an FBI Friday on The Usual Suspects. Nick taking some much-needed time off for a day. That means Aaron Rabel.
Lazy.
If you missed it, Dell was in for the first hour. Now Aaron's got us for the final portion of the program. Barry and myself are here. Yes?
Hey, Aaron, we talked with Dell a little bit about his porn preferences. What are yours?
What do you mean? Like, genres?
Well, I mean, like, yeah, like, you know, are you into like this stepbrother porn, or are you into like, you know,
no.
Asian.
You've brought up stepbrothers like, twice, Barry. Are you trying to tell us?
That's a very, it's a big thing right now where every single porn that sounds like, oh, me and my stepbrother or me and my stepsister, right? I like, am I the only one?
I don't know about right. Yeah, that's on you, brother.
If you were on Pornhub, you would know that what I'm stating is a fact. And the suspects, Lord knows they could back it up. Okay. Now the question
sounds like you'd be looking for it to back have something else backed up. But yes.
So you tried. Hey, Aaron, what's your persuasion there? What's your like? Is it a fetish or is it just a category?
No, I mean usually just general everything.
No,
I like curvier women.
Vanilla ice cream. Get out of here. Oh.
I like so the curvier women on that.
BBW. Okay. BBW porn.
I do like more of the mature, like seeing the 19-year-old college girl thing. That just creeps me out.
You like chubby cougars?
I won't shy away from them.
Okay.
Okay.
Nick would call that a slump buster, but you would call that, you know. What you like. That's not wrong with that.
That's the problem, is that Nick calls them a slump buster, but to everybody, Nick is the slump buster for them.
Dang!
Oh, wow. Producer on producer.
Wow.
Wow.
That was disrespectful. Crying. You're going to have hell to pay when he gets back. So are you into like fat grandmas, or are you just into curvy?
No, just the curvier women, but like if you're making me select an age range, I'm much more likely to pick a woman from 30 to 40, 45 to watch than I would like a 19-year-old or a 21-year-old that's playing a 19 or 18-year-old.
So essentially, Barry, your girl from Sports Illustrated yesterday would be in the age range for Aaron, but she'd have to get off the weights and cardio and get on to like a drive-through easy tag.
Apparently so.
I didn't say I don't like watching fit girls do it.
Okay.
I just said I have to focus on one. No, I said I've got a very broad range of almost any of it out there.
Broad? Huh? All right. Do you venture out from like any particular race or any particular body part, or is there like a fetish besides old big girls?
Thank you for twisting my words.
Yeah, you are like AJ Jr. today. You are just, oh man, you're on fire.
No, not really.
I'm just asking questions.
I'm open to all races, and there's no specific body part I focus on, no.
Okay. I'm just wondering. We've had this talk with everybody else. We might as well have the talk with you, right? I mean,
fine. I'm an open book on that stuff.
Okay. Okay, good. See, and
it's just a lot more boring than what everybody's going to think.
Yeah, I mean, you are the vanilla ice cream of sex choices, really. You're just like, I just like chubby white girls that are old.
I just like women naked. Exciting. Okay.
There you go. That's
I think just because Nick pinpointed it to say chubby Latinos that he got so specific. But Aaron gives you the generals, I guess, the general category.
I like it. Yeah, he did. It was good. Now, you wanted to talk. Well, I say you. Did you see this tweet from Mike Leach that he had to delete?
Yeah.
It's a really innocent tweet. It was just a joke, and it was a picture of a lady that looks like she's knitting a noose.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, after 2 weeks of quarantine, like a black and white photo of some old grandma. She's kind of thick, too, Aaron. You might like her. She's got big hips.
Oh, God.
But after 2 weeks of quarantine with her husband, Gertrude decides to knit him a scarf. And the scarf is, of course, a noose. But she's actually knitting a noose. He had to delete that and apologize. And said, I sincerely regret if my choice of images and my tweets were found offensive. I had no intention of offending anyone. I think that there's two parts to this. I looked at that and thought, oh yeah, she wants to kill her husband. I think
Indeed.
Some people look at that and thought, noose, and, you know, it becomes, oh, it's an old picture, you know, racism. And so I went one way, and I think other people went the other way. And
take it another step, too, because TMZ took it another way, because based on what I interpreted like you, that they've been, you know, spent so much time together, she wants to kill her husband. Well, then TMZ said they interpreted it as the woman wants to kill herself after having spent time with her husband, which is a different way to interpret it. And then you've got, you know, they said, too, that a part of the reason why he apologized was two of his players, one responded WTF, and then another one responded facts, he tripping. Well,
yeah,
I mean,
I guess it depends on who you are and you know, let's just be real, what race you are. Because for me,
true,
I looked at that as a 45-year-old married man, I looked at that and laughed because I was like, yep, my wife wants to kill me too. Never
did I think
that it was about race. Never did I think it was about race. But then when you start to see some of the other people and then I'm like, oh, okay. But I think you have to consider the source, you know? If – I'm not going to pick on him again because I've really been crapping on him a lot. If David Duke tweets this, it's one thing. Mike Leach, I think, and knowing how funny Mike Leach is and ironic and all the other things he is, I honestly don't think that there was any malicious intent or racial intent in this tweet. I think it was a joke about marriage.
I think the fact of the matter is he's trying to provide some levity to what a lot of people are going through in terms of, you know, we talked about it on the show throughout this pandemic with, you know, you have a new sense of normal in life in terms of if you're in a relationship, if you're married, whatever, if you have kids, regardless of whatever the case may be, you're spending a whole lot more time with them than you're used to on a daily basis. And, you know, people can get, you know, their feathers ruffled and things can happen. And so he's trying to make light of a situation because everybody's under so much stress. And instead, he gets basically put between the crosshairs and under a microscope, and he's got to apologize, and it gets out of hand.
Yeah, and I think that sometimes, and I don't know if you want to say rightfully so or not, but I think just in general, and not even specifically about race, but in general, society you have to be overly cautious with what you say because everyone takes it differently. As we suggested in three different, you know, this was taken three different ways. You and I saw it one way, TMZ saw it a second way, and obviously other people saw it a third way. But my point is to this, and the reason I say it, this was not a racial tweet, is because he never said anything other than husband. She's white, and he said husband. So unless she said, oh, she's gonna, you know, she's knitting her black husband a scarf. I that's why I never took it racially, because I just took it for, oh, she wants to kill her husband. And that was it. So I think that's where it's we're in a society where you have to be very mindful of how everyone's going to interpret your jokes, because not everybody's going to take it the same way.
Absolutely right. All right, we'll continue to roll on. We've got plenty more to get to. On this show. So there's plenty more opportunities for you to get involved. 713-780-3776. You can call that number. You can text that number. You can also get involved via Twitter. Before we go to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. They are still open, and they are still working hard for you guys. So if you're out there, guys, and you realize with all this time on your hands being at home, you just don't have the energy you once had. Your get up and go has got up and left, and you don't have it in the bedroom. You don't have it to go to the gym and work out. And you certainly don't have it for all the energy you need to be around your family and your kids. Apollo Men's Health can help. In addition to traditional testosterone therapy, Apollo Men's Health also has cutting-edge pellet testosterone therapy, which actually reduces the amount of times you have to make weekly visits, but still maintains your overall wellness in a more convenient way. They also offer body composition analysis, HGH peptide therapy. Everything they do is centered around you and making sure that you increase your overall quality of life. Remember, your health is your wealth, so invest in yourself. Call 832-664-9966 or go to their website, apollomh.com, to book your first appointment. Most major insurance accepted, discounts for military personnel and first responders. Check out Apollo Men's Health today.
Gotta be perfect. You gotta be perfect. You just gotta be worthy.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, and Nick Sharara.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects as we wrap up hour number two and get ready for the final 60 minutes of the show. It's Barry, myself, Joel, and Aaron Raybould here in the second part of the program. Just a little update, and this is weird. This is where, like, life hits television. But we've been talking a lot about Chris Cuomo and his show on CNN and the fact that his brother's the governor of New York and that he contracted the virus. He just tweeted out, "I can barely do my show. Yes, 80% of COVID cases will resolve at home, but it's often an ugly 2 weeks of worse than what you've dealt with as an otherwise healthy person. Don't sleep on this. Think you'll get it and not know it. Please and thank you for the love. It humbles me." Last night on the show, Barry, just quickly, he talked about with Anderson Cooper about symptoms and what he's going through. And he's like, he sleeps 10 hours a day, which is, I mean, something you can relate to. But then he says that the high fever, the temperature, the sweating. And then he said he basically has dreams without dreaming. And he's religious. So he says, "I swear to you that I'm not making this up. I was not dreaming, but my father who passed away was sitting at the edge of my bed yesterday."
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, and he started detailing some of the things that he's going through with this, and he's like, "But yet I still, you know, have enough energy and strength and whatever like that, and I feel motivated for the people to do the show." And now he's tweeting out today, basically, he can barely do it and he's struggling. So, I mean, it's kind of crazy, but if you're at CNN, the producers, I'm sure as much as they feel for the guy, they're also kind of jazzed in the fact that they have what most people don't have from a news source and someone going through it firsthand.
Yeah. And it is brave, because I was telling Nora about this, and I mean, brave, all things considered, you know, bravery is rushing into battle and with bullets flying at you. But it's also, I mean, if you get coronavirus, there's a certain stigma, I feel like, attached to it. Like, people are like, it's almost like a scarlet letter. Like, and you could get it in the most innocent way possible. Like, somebody could have coughed while you're at the store and, you know, you walked through it or whatever. So it's not like you did anything wrong, but I feel like people are like, "Oh, if you have it, it's a bad day." And so for him to be at the forefront of it and say, "Yes, I have it, and this is my experience every single day," it is to a certain degree, if not brave, it at least shows that he's not shying away from it and not afraid to let people know that he has it and what he's going through. Because, I mean, you think about that. If somebody you knew says that they had it, you'd be like, "Oh, I'm not going near them. That's scary." Not that they're all, you know, a terrible person. It's just, it's scary right now. So it's good to see somebody go through it and not make it, or make it not as scary, I should say.
Yeah, and the other thing that I like is, you know, much like we do for the most part on this show, which is he takes politics out of it. He doesn't want to say, "Are you a Dem or a Republican or this or that or the other thing?" He tries to just put it into, like, layman simple terms about real life every day that people can relate to. Like, this is how this could affect the public. This is how you should be dealing with this pandemic. And if people, like, kind of to your point too, he kind of walks it through, going, "We'll make it through together. But if they ask you to do something, don't feel like it's someone telling you to do something you don't want to do. You're doing it for not only you, but for the betterment of those around you and their safety and things like that." So I give him a lot of credit. And I also think that it's crazy for CNN. And I understand that they're going to want to follow every step of this because they have someone going through it firsthand. You just hope it ends well.
Yeah, you're right that they're going to exploit every single moment that they can of it. As far as his show, I don't watch his show, so I don't know what he's like. I do agree that it needs to be more about the topics and less about politics, whether it's COVID or 19 or whatever else it is. And I say it politics in that, you know, divisive, one-sided politics, because I feel like there's really no channel you can watch where you just get the facts. You're going to get a slant no matter what. I mean, it's obvious that CNN hates Donald Trump. It's clearly obvious. Right. And every chance they get, they bash that guy, no matter what. And I'm not suggesting that he's a saint, but they're just as bad as Fox. So anybody that wants to defend one or the other, they're equally awful. And that's somebody like me. All I want is, I just want the facts. I'll formulate my own opinion. But, man, it's just that that's almost non-existent. I mean, you got to go to, like, Snopes and stuff just to get info. It's crazy.
Yeah, it really is. No doubt about it. But I just wanted to throw that out there because, you know, we normally have CNN on at night just to check up on what's going on. And just seeing that he was doing the show yesterday and literally, like, sweating and going through the whole show trying to explain what was going on. And then to see the tweet today, it's like, man, you know, don't mess with this stuff. It's crazy that they also had a guy on yesterday from Seattle that has volunteered to be one of the, quote-unquote, for lack of a better term, the guinea pigs, the lab animal that is experimenting with new drugs and new technology and ways of dealing with this. And they said they essentially took some of the proteins and the things, I want to say, from whether it be from the blood of someone that's already gotten over it, or they just injected what they thought would be proteins that would fight the virus, and it's working for him. And so he's been through, had his blood all gone through and done all these things through, I think, two cycles, and it's working. So that's something that they're going to watch and monitor closely, because that may be a way to treat this and prevent a lot of people from passing away, as opposed to waiting for the FDA and everybody to find a cure for the virus that people can take, which they're saying could take up to a year.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah, totally nuts.
I think we have a call, Joel. Aaron, okay. Is Kyle on the phone?
Hey, what's going on?
Kyle, what's up?
What's up, guys? Nothing new. Hey, I'm calling in with Joel's favorite topic.
Okay.
No.
I've got a lawn care question.
Oh, boy.
Uh-huh. All right. Here's the deal. I'm almost done building my house. And I had to bring in a couple loads of 60/40 to do some leveling around the yard. I want to put down grass sod. Do I need to get topsoil, or can I just put it over the 60/40?
I would put down a 50/50 mix. It's 50% dirt, 50% compost on top of your, because you're talking 60/40 clay sand mix, correct?
Well, got to make it ratio.
Yes, sir.
Whoa. Yeah, so get you a 50/50, which is, yeah, you're going to want to put down an inch to 2 inches of like a 50/50 that has compost in it, and then put your sod on top of that.
Where's
Shut
place?
Up. Yep, appreciate you, Kyle, man. Be safe out there. Yeah, nailed it.
Holy
nailed
cow.
It.
God.
See, Joel, the people
I hope
demand
you're happy.
Lawn
you put,
talk.
You put everyone that listens to this show to sleep, with the exception of Randy Lemon, who has a chubby. So that I hope that was your objective.
Aaron, what say you on lawn talk? What say you?
I enjoy it because it's informative for me, and I'm an old man.
Aaron,
You could. You didn't have to say the last part.
I mean, I'm growing up. I'm a homo. Well, I pay for my home that I live in.
Whoa! Hey!
Listen, Aaron, of all the words to stop halfway through in and change course,
it's almost like I planned it or something, didn't I?
If there was ever grounds for isolation, that one would be it right there.
I'll suck it up for a minute.
Sucks
or whatever.
That you guys are stuck at home and can't get to the audio feed.
My God.
Wow,
I always knew you
talk
were a homeowner.
There, Grabled. Holy cow.
Boy, I knew it. I pegged you as a homeowner the minute I saw you.
I mean,
homeowner.
It's like Barry got the answer he was looking for in terms of categories on Pornhub, and he got more than he bargained for. I don't know. Where did that come from?
Oh, that's good stuff.
What a great way to wrap up hour number two.
People love lawn talk. Just deal with it. Including Aaron, the homeowner.
Yeah, I can tell you what kind of fertilizer that is. All right, that's number two. We've got 1 hour still to go. 60 minutes on the clock. When we come back, it's the usual suspects. ESPN 97.5.
My sweet summer's gone. She left me here with sand in my bed. She played me all night long, but I do it all over again.
ESPN 97.5.
Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's mind.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That's amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.